everybody, it's Lupin, and I am here to report on the book. The book. The Descent by, God, I don't remember who it's by. But if you have been in the Patreon for a little bit, you know that that is what we are reading this month. We're going through and we're reading The Descent together and gonna kind of talk about it a little. And just see what's going on, you know? Just kind of have a little chit-chat and everything. So this is the first little update because if you're in my Discord, you may know that I ordered the actual physical book because I wanted to, like, write in the margins and everything and show you guys pictures of me scribbling all over it. And the book just never showed up. It's lost. It's still in New Jersey, according to the tracking. So it's just lost. So I bought it on Kindle, and so I'm a little late in getting the reading done, but I just finished book one. So the first 7 chapters is book one. And I thought I could talk about it with you guys. So if you are planning to read along and you haven't read all 7 chapters of book one, the first part of the descent, then, I would maybe wait if you plan on, reading it with us. If not, feel free to listen and I'll kind of try to talk about the book and kind of give you some information. Cause I know some people don't actually want to read it, but just kind of want to hear me talk about it and tell you what's going on. So, I'm going to read the blurb. Oh God, I'm going to throw my phone. See, this is why I wanted to have a copy of the book. It would have been so much easier, but I don't. Let's see. Okay, so I'm gonna read you guys the blurb for it. We are not alone. In a cave in the Himalayas, a guide discovers a self-mutilated body with a warning: Satan exists. In the Kalahari Desert, a nun unearths evidence of a proto-human species, of a proto-human species and a deity called Older Than Old. In Bosnia, something has been feeding on the dead in a mass grave. So begins mankind's most shocking realization that the underworld is a vast geological labyrinth populated by another race of beings. Some call them devils or demons, but they are real. They are down there, and they are waiting for us to find them. So, spooky, spooky book. So I'm going to start giving spoilers now. But basically, we get introduced. I'm going to kind of go chapter by chapter, because that's how I wrote it out. Because I did write. I'm going to upload them. But I did write out my thoughts, my notes, kind of. I'll kind of go chapter by chapter, and then I will give you guys I just realized that the VTuber model that I use for streaming has been up. Like, my webcam was still on and everything. Whoops. I just turned that off. Anyway, so, we start off kind of like how the description, was showing those 3 different scenes. That's how the book starts off, which I'll get into this later after I go through the chapter by chapter, but it kind of threw me off in a way, and I'll explain why. He didn't really have a reason. He didn't really have a way of doing it any other way, so it's not that I think, he made a poor choice, but it did affect my read, so I'll give you guys more information there. But first chapter, by far my favorite. I'll have to see if you guys agree with me, because the first chapter by far was the most interesting, the one that really pulled me in, the one that just really grabbed me and made me interested, by far, but like leaps and bounds above the rest. So the first chapter is about the Himalayan guide. His name is Ike. He's from America. And he's leading a group of hikers who are going to go see, they're kind of doing some traveling throughout the mountains. And he's trying to lead them to a mountain, a specific mountain. I forget which one, and I don't have it marked in my Kindle, so I'm not going to go back and look. But he's trying to lead them to a mountain, and he says he misplaced the mountain and they got lost, which that immediately was like, how does he misplace the mountain? This is someone who's done this Himalayan. He's runs his own company. You know, that's kind of a weird thing to say. And he seems baffled by it. You know, he's like, how did I misplace this mountain? Because he can't find it. So immediately that just gets me going like, is he being drawn in? Is this something like, this can't just be happenstance that he finds this cave? Because they find a cave. And they go and stay there because there's a storm coming. And so this group of, like, I think they said 8 people, I think there was 8 of them, they go and they're staying in the cave, waiting out the storm, and they find a body. They find a body, and it's like kind of mummified. It's mummified, and it's got a bunch of writing all over it, and at first they think that he was tortured and like someone wrote all over him, but when you see that he wrote on himself, like tattooed himself, basically carved things into his body, he was also brutalated. There's some really interesting, like, kind of body horror things they talk about. But I wouldn't say body horror as in like really disturbing, but definitely was like, ooh. So that was kind of, I really enjoyed that actually. Cause it definitely got you going like, oh my God, this would be spooky to see. But all over his body is writings, and, he's talking about gold, and he's talking about masters, and you know, writing all these proverbs and psalms, I think. He's writing Shakespeare. I don't think he's actually writing psalms. I think he's writing Shakespeare, and they thought it was psalms. Excuse me. I don't think so. I don't think he had any psalms on him, just Shakespeare quotes. Which of course is Shakespeare. You guys know how I feel about Shakespeare. So he had a bunch of writing, and from what it seems like, what Ike kind of deduced is that he was kind of a pet of something, you know. He's a pet of something and kind of like a slave, but that it almost seems like he loved, you know, the people who enslaved him. So they're kind of just watching this body and you know, examining it, but time passes and they've, you know, start exploring the cave because one of their people went missing out throughout the night, and Ike splits the party, which you never fucking split the party, but he does. They go through and he goes through his side of the tunnel because there's 2 different tunnels, kind of. He goes through his side and he finds, like, it seemed like bait because there's a bunch of gold coins laying like in a row. And he's like, this is bait. Like, they're trying to bait me. Something's trying to bait me in. So he runs out of the little area he finds and he tries to go find the rest. And they seem to have curved off of the path they were supposed to, you know, that would be natural to follow. And they curved into this labyrinth of tunnels. And he finds one of them and she's holding all this gold and she just seems kind of out of it. And she's super like, no, I'll stay here. I just still want to stay here a minute longer. And then he finds all the rest of the party, minus one, just completely slaughtered, piled on top of each other. And then he hears the one who wasn't there, which happens to be his lover, the person who was helping him with the expedition. He hears her screaming and something coming towards him, and so he hides under the bodies. And the last we see in that chapter is the thing that was coming. He sees it, and it's Isaac, who ends up being, who was, they'd found out the name of the body. The body's name was Isaac. He'd written it on himself. So it was the body. The body had like come alive. So that was like a super gripping way to get introduced. I loved it. And then the next chapter was my least favorite chapter. So it went from this amazing chapter and then immediately went to a chapter about a character that I just cannot vibe with yet. I don't know if maybe I'll vibe with her later. Right now, I cannot vibe with her. Her name is Allie. She is a nun and she's doing like a, she's in Africa with a village of lepers, and she's like doing her Christian duty and, you know, helping them build a well and giving them a good life and things like that. And she's being, we get there when she's talking about, she's leaving the guides that are, you know, her church or whoever the powers that be are having her pull out, and she's going to be leaving. And the whole time she's just giving off this self-congratulatory, like, just weird vibe to me. And I could not shake it, because everything she talked about with this girl, she's talking for most of the chapter, she's talking to a girl. I forgot her name. It was like Kelsia or something like that. Not Kelsia. That's like a American name. It's like Kokia, I think, actually Kokia. She's talking with this girl who's a leper and she's pregnant, and she's expressing at the beginning of the chapter how much she loves this girl, and she's sad she's not going to be able to see the baby born. But she's talking so demeaning about everyone there, and she's just putting herself above them all, saying, "What are they going to do without me?" And just like giving this weird vibe. I even wrote in my notes, like, she's got such a white savior complex the whole like chapter. And then there was this one thing, and it was kind of a throwaway line, a throwaway subject, but it made me so mad, because she's talking about how this is an outcast society, you know, an outcast leper community. And she talks about how she brought blue bonnets because she's from Texas. She comes from Texas, and she's like, "I made this huge blue bonnet field, and people come from miles around to see this huge blue bonnet field that I made. And I've given that to the lepers, you know, having them not just be this outcast community. People come from miles to see this blue bonnet field that I made." And it's like the kind of like colonialism that kind of like, it just gave me such a colonialism vibe. Like, I don't know, there was something so off-putting about this chapter. It just totally threw me off. Could not stand her. Everything she was saying in this chapter made me uncomfortable. Did not like it. And then to make matters worse, she's talking to this girl who's talking, you know, who's obviously loving this woman. It starts off the chapter with her giving her a protective necklace to ward off evil. And then when Allie is getting ready, I don't know if I said her name, her name's Allie. When Allie's getting ready to leave, the girl is like, "Oh, yeah, well, this one guy's gone, and he's gone, like, from the village, he's disappeared." And she's like, "He's gone because we gave him to the older than the old in exchange for you, because the older than the old wanted you. And we gave him, or the guy was going to give you to the older than old. So we just gave the guy away." And Allie's like, oh, she's a fiend. That's what she calls her. She calls her for a fiend. She's like, "Oh, she's a fiend." Because the girl's talking about like, "Oh yeah, we gave him, he's going to die." And Allie's just like, "Oh, you're horrible. Like, I'm leaving." And it was like, you just were talking about how much you love this girl. And it was just so weird. It was like the second she does something like culturally different, because the way they describe it, it was like a cultural thing, that the lepers kill their own, you know, if they get to a certain point, and,
yada, yada, yada. And so it was a cultural thing. And she was like, oh, a fiend. And she gets like scared of her kind of and tries and like turns away to go. And then we find out that the necklace is made from balls, human balls. And that doesn't faze Allie. So that was interesting. I don't know. It was an interesting end to the chapter. I don't know. It was weird. But so that was chapter two. I hated it. I hated it. But so that was in Africa. That was in the desert down there. And then chapter three, we get taken to Bosnia, that last place that was mentioned in the blurb. We get taken to Bosnia and we meet up with Branch, who is an officer in the military there. I think he's American. I'm assuming he's American. I'm pretty sure he's American. I read it as American. I don't remember if it was or not. But they're in Bosnia and they're at a base and there's this area, they call it Zulu 4, and they've been monitoring it because for the last few nights it's been doing something strange. It's been releasing nitrogen from the earth, it seems. It's been releasing a ton of nitrogen from the earth, and it happens at the exact same time at night, and it makes the nitrogen level skyrocket to like a crazy level, and then it dissipates by morning. It's back to normal levels. And so they're all just confused what's going on. And it's above this like dig of a bunch of bodies. So they know there's a bunch of bodies in this hole that's there. They know there's a bunch of bodies that were there, hundreds of bodies that were thrown into this hole. And they're like, well, it could be the nitrogen coming off of the bodies. And I'm like, no. Like they couldn't release that much nitrogen and not in that kind of a consistent way and blah, blah. So they end up sending Branch, end up being like, okay, well, I'll fly in my helicopter. I'll fly in and see what's going on. And so he and another pilot go and they fly in. And as soon as they get into the cloud, and while they were watching like the video feed before they left, they saw the bodies in the pit moving. Like they could see something, like they were like moving up and down kind of thing. So it was like something was going on with them. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. So Branch decides that they're going to go check it out. And as soon as they get into like the fog of nitrogen, their equipment cuts out, they crash, they go down. And his partner, like the person who was there with him, is gone. He can't find him. And he's struggling because he's trying to keep the air mask on because there's so much nitrogen. It's, you know, making him go cuckoo. He's also, you know, got a lot of damage from the fall. And, he finally sees, they're trying to tell him, leave. And he's like, I can't go. Like, I don't have the strength. And they're seeing like all these bogeys in their like satellite imagery. There's things that are coming towards him. And then he's like, no, it's Ramada. That's the guy's name who he couldn't find. He's like, it must be Ramada. And then Ramada does come out and he's like been filleted. Like his body is torn open. I'm gonna get graphic, but he's, you know, he's got strips of flesh hanging down. His arm has been sheared off, kind of like the meat has been sheared off the bone. So after his elbow, it's just a bone. And he's just completely flayed, like completely destroyed. And you know, the guy runs, you know, he comes over to Branch, and Branch is like holding him, and Ramada dies, and Branch is just kind of losing it while he's sitting there. He's kind of going ditzy from all the nitrogen. And in the microphone, you know, in his headset, he can hear them talking about like, oh, things are coming your way, you have to leave, you have to do something, take cover, we're gonna fire, you know, we're gonna fire on these bogeys that are coming at you, we're gonna attack them. And so they fire at him, you know, so the chapter ends with there being a hailstorm of bullets you know, from the helicopters. I don't really know. From them, they're just releasing bullets down onto. They slaughter whatever was coming for him, completely decimate it. And then the chapter ends with, like, Branch is still alive. But, and, like, the area around him was all scorched, and he was never the same. That's how it ends. And so you're like, what the hell's going on? So that was interesting. And then it immediately, in chapter, Oh, no. I lied. There was chapter 4, which was so boring, I barely, like, touched on it. Because the next chapter, we go to another place, and we're, like, with these scholars, a couple of, like, this one scholar who's blind, and he has an assistant. He found something in a dig, and this other scholar, who's, like, a friend of his, came, Thomas is his name, came to visit with him, and, because he called him, and he's, like, oh, there's this face carved into the columns down in this pit, you have to come see it, it's ancient. We've never seen anything like this. And the guy's like, you weren't supposed to dig here. He's like, we didn't, it was exploded. Like, they bombed it, and we found, like, we just explored it because they bombed it. We didn't do anything. It was just a bombing incident. And Thomas is like, well, they're going to come and close it up, so, you know, whatever, but I'll come see it. So they go down into the hole to go explore this column, and the face was, like, carved out of the column. And it looks like claws carved it out. And then they find the body of the guy who's supposed to be keeping watch, stuffed into a crevice. And so it was just a really boring chapter, just showing that something else was found underground, and it was weird. So that was, like, a boring chapter. And then the next chapter, we go back to Branch. He's in a mental hospital. Well, not mental hospital, but, like, a... he's in a long-term facility, for the military, and they're kicking him out. But he's been through such a change. He basically just, like, at the beginning, he kind of had, like, superhuman powers, like, super strength. He had protrusions, like, bone calcium protrusions coming out of his forehead, kind of like horns. He had all of this stuff going on with him. He's got multitudes and multitudes of burns from what he went through, all cut up and everything. And he keeps saying he saw things, and they're like, no, you couldn't have. Because he's like, I saw, like, the things with the breasts of women, with women's breasts. And they're like, you're delusional. And he's like, okay, I'm delusional. And they're like, oh, we don't believe you're saying you're delusional. And it's like, what the fuck? But then they end up kicking him out. And stuff, and you don't really, then it transfers to him being, kind of a leader of a group for the military. They send him back. They're like, okay, well, you're going to be stationed. We're stationing you back in Bosnia. And so he goes, and he's stationed in Bosnia again at the same place that he was hurt. Like, you can still see the remnants of his, of his helicopter and things. And he's stationed back there, and they end up exploring a cave and making that, like, a big thing, because now they're accepting that something's going on under the earth, kind of. They're like a little bit accepting of that. So he starts to explore the cave, and it kind of tells you that, you know, over the years, they start explaining, you know, that after, like, they find these bodies and stuff, they realize that things are going on under the earth. And so they start sending, like, massive amounts of people under the earth. Like, the army starts making, you know, exploring under the earth a big thing. And it's top secret. They don't tell any of, like, the civilians about it or anything. So they're all exploring under the earth. And Branch is exploring an area. And, they realize that they're calling the creatures the Hadals, the Hadals, Hadals, it's Hadals. They're calling them the Hadals, and they're saying, like, oh, like, at first they're saying, oh, it's all cleared out. There's nothing down there. And they go super far down, and they don't see any evidence of the creatures. And they're saying, oh, they're all dead. They must all be dead or they ran away. And then on the same day, all around the planet, November 24th, 1999, the cave strikes back. And in all of the caves all over, at a certain depth, people just don't come back anymore. And they all die. And it was like 30,000 deaths or something like that. And so it starts this like years-long war. And the chapter ends with Branch's team was running for their lives because they'd gone down to explore to look for their group of people who were lost. They found the bodies. They were completely slaughtered. And then the Hadals, they heard the Hadals coming for him. So they're like, okay, we're going to set up a last stand. And we're going to blow him up with like explosives. And then we're going to shoot at him and yada, yada. So Branch sets up this like last stand and sets up the last stand and blows them up and yada, yada, yada. And they find out that it wasn't Hadals. It was humans, humans that it looked like they were from. The Middle East, I think. I can't remember. Can't remember where it looked like, but it was from an area that was like not this area. It looked like it was a different area. And it was humans that was from miles, miles, miles away, and they looked gaunt and like they were basically in chains, chained together, like a caravan of slaves. And there was a Hadal that was taking them. Like there was a guard with them. And the guard ends up being not dead. The Hadal's still alive. And Branch like goes over to the Hadal and is like looking at it. And all his soldiers want to kill it. And he's like, no, 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 no. And the Hadal talks to him. And he's like, oh, kill me, kill me. And they realize that he's human. He looks different. He's kind of got the same thing going on Branch does, but worse. And he's starts crying when Branch is talking to him. When Branch asks him his name, and he says Ike. So it's Ike. We get back to Ike, and Ike is transformed. And one thing that was really interesting is they talk about how for all the slaves, like they had collars on and things, but for the Hadal, for Ike, he had a gold band that was sunk into like his spinal cord. And they were saying like it was like a chain, like something that could be connected to, where if it was pulled, he would immediately become paralyzed from the neck down. And so they were saying like, oh, like they had to break him. They had to make it so that like he had so much spirit, they had to break him that way. And it was like, oh, heartbreaking, my poor Ike. So that was super interesting. And chapter 6 and 7, chapter 6, we're from Ike's point of view. He's changed. He's so changed. And he is talking with Branch, and Branch is saying, hey, the military, this is 3 years have passed. And Branch is saying, hey, the military, like what happened 18 months ago, they're going to sanction you. You're being sanctioned, but I'm trying to get you, the best deal I can. And we don't really find out what happened 18 months ago too much. Like, it seems like something happened where he disobeyed orders and, some stuff happened. And so Ike is just like, well, I'll just leave. Like, I'm just going to leave and I'll go and be like a rover down in the tunnels. I'll join up with a militia or something, because there's these militias that now have taken up down. It's not just the military under the ground. There's militias and companies that are going down there. And he's like, I'll just become part of the militia or something. And Branch is like, please just go and do what I'm asking. Like, be good. And I'm going to fight for you. And Ike is like, Ike considers Branch like a father now. And he's like, yeah, of course. And so it fast forwards to Ike going, he goes up onto the surface for the first time, in years since he's been down there. It's got to be, I think it's been 6 or 7 years since he's been on the surface. He goes onto the surface. He goes to Washington, D.C. to meet with this lawyer that Branch set up for him. And the Branch had been lied to. It wasn't a lawyer. It was someone who works for some company that's saying, like, the military has already decided you're gone. Like, they don't want you. You're not going to change their mind. Like, you're going to be sanctioned. You're going to go to, you know, years and years and years, as a prisoner. But you don't belong on the surface. Like, you know, he's talking to him with so much disdain. He's like, you don't belong on the surface. You don't, you know, you need to just leave. And he's like, well, here's this information for, like, this company. You need to call them, and you can't tell Branch about it because then you'll get Branch in trouble. So Branch is going to think he's deserted after Branch went to so much issue, you know, trouble to get him this stuff. But he's going to try to just save Branch and save himself from going to, like, prison for years, it seems like. And he doesn't know who he's going to call, but, you know, that's where we leave that chapter. And then it switches back to Allie in chapter 7. And in that chapter, Allie is being met with Thomas and that scholar and the scholar's assistant and someone that Allie knows. They all get together and are met together, and she was kind of led there, and they're like, oh yeah, we're in this secret club and we're trying to find the devil, like Satan. Not really from a Christianity standpoint, but, like, we think Satan is someone directing the Hadals. Side note, it should be Hadals, and I really don't like that it's Hadals. It's spelled H-A-D-A-L-S, and it should be Hadals, but it's Hadals. And they make a specific point to be, like, Hadal like cradle. So you know it's Hadal, and I don't like that. I don't like that they're called that. It bothers me. They should be all Hadals. That's what I read it as. Anyway, so she's drawn into this, like, secret society, and they're telling her, we want you to be a part, and Branch is there. Branch is part of it. And they're saying, like, we want to figure out who the big bad is. We want to find out who the leader of the Hadals are, and we think that you can find some of that out by going down and using your, I guess I didn't even talk about this, but while she was down in Africa, she was exploring hieroglyphics and things. And she was finding out things about a language that had been lost, like this ancient proto-language kind of thing. And she was down there exploring that, and she was really upset when she was called to leave because she was finding information about it. And so they're saying, hey, we want you to use your, like, language skills to, you know, use the hieroglyphics that are down under the surface and find out information about what these are, because we still don't know. They've been fighting these things for years, and for, like, now for years, they've been gone again. They did that big mass uprising where they killed, like, 30,000 soldiers, and then they've been gone for years. So now the military's trying to be like, oh, they're gone, they died, like, we're gonna get back to normal, we're gonna save the stock market again, because, like, everything's back to normal, it's fine, don't think about it. But they know that something's under there, and so they're saying, okay, Allie, like, come help. And they're talking about a company named Helios, who's going down there, and, like, they're exploring some things, and it looks like they're trying to explore stuff for capitalist gains, and it seems like that might be who Sandwell, who is working with Ike, who was saying, like, Ike needed to call this company. It seems like that might be what they were talking about. And so basically it ends with Allie being like, okay, I'll join you, I'll go down there. And that's the end of chapter 7, and that's the end of book 1. So now I'm going to talk about 34 minutes in, and I'm going to talk about my thoughts and how I feel about it, because, it was an interesting, like, you get thrown in. So my thoughts, it's really hard for me to gauge what I feel about the book so far, being that whole book was like an introduction. Like, that entire first book was just pounding you with information, just being like, okay, here's this going on, all of this information. And it was like you're getting thrown all over and being like, okay, this is what's going on here. I kept feeling like I was in a Robert Langdon novel. I was in, like, fucking Angels and Demons or The Da Vinci Code. I made multiple notes about it because, like, especially with, like, the Allie stuff, it seemed like they were drawing her to be Robert Langdon. Like, she's gonna go explore these ancient languages and figure out what they mean because they need this linguist to, like, go down there and figure it out, like, symbologist. Like, she, it's so, I don't know, I still can't stand her. But, so, like, they're going down and it was just giving me this weird Robert Langdon feel, and that part I didn't really enjoy. But I'm so invested in finding out what the Hadals are, and finding out more about them, and finding out why the companies are what they're doing, what they're doing, like, without the government's knowledge, and why they're so invested in going down. Do they believe that there's, like, a treasure under there? Like, do they believe that the Hadals have, like, ancient treasure? Or because the Hadals are like pack rats, right? So they collected all this human stuff. So they're like, maybe they have things that they can bring back, or maybe they have, like, other, you know, other societal things that they can use for money. I don't know. It's just, like, I'm really interested to see where that goes. And I think we're going to learn a lot more about them in the next part. But for now, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I really love the character of Ike. I love the character of Ike so much. I already said it, the first chapter was my favorite chapter of this whole thing. Ike was such a compelling character, and I was really drawn into the book from Ike. Like, because of Ike, I was drawn into the book. And then they went with Allie right after in the next chapter, and I was tossed out of the book again. It gave me such whiplash of loving Ike so much, and then going to Allie, who I dislike, actively dislike. So that was really weird, and I didn't stay invested in the book because they went right to Allie. And then they went to Branch not too long after, who I enjoyed as well. And I feel like if we had slid in with Ike, then Branch, and then gone to Allie, I feel like I would have been into the book more and been able to, like, sink my teeth in more and not feel like I was glazing over parts, because I definitely felt like I was glazing over a lot of parts in this intro, like this just exposition slam where we went through, god, I think we went through, it started in 88 and it ended in 2002 or 2003, I think. So we crossed over the span of, you know, years, 15 years, something like that. And we learned so much about what was going on. So I think it was just a really overwhelming introduction. I'm really interested in the companies. I'm interested to see what happens with Ike. I really want to hear more from Ike's perspective, because even though we spent a chapter with Ike, the way that this author keeps skipping through everything, we saw Ike get rescued, and then it skips 3 years to when Ike's been sanctioned and he's not going to be, like, trying to save himself. And so we don't find out what Ike's been telling anyone about the Hadals. We don't know anything about his time down there. We don't know anything. You know, he's just talking about how he wants to slip away and how, like, the light hurts him, and we don't really find anything out. He has, like, these flashes of, like, he has, like, a couple memories of things that went down there, but, you know, he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't give us any insight to what's going on. And that was a disappointment to me. That was a really big disappointment, because it didn't feel like it clarified anything. I feel at the end of this 7 chapters, I still don't know anything. We are no closer to knowing anything, because it was all just intro. We were just getting thrown intro. And so that was a little stressful. That was a little stressful, and I wish I had more information from Ike's point of view. For the life of me, so far, I cannot give a shit about Thomas and the scholar Delorio, whatever his name is, cannot give a shit about their whole plot. Like, it just can't. They're making my eyes glaze so much whenever they talk. So that was really hard for me to pay attention to that whole plot line. The whole, like, Beowulf club, that was really hard for me to pay attention to. I think it'll be interesting maybe down the road, but right now it's like, oh my god, shut up. Like, okay, I get it. You're wanting to explore things, but like, shut up. And yeah, so I don't know. I think it's gonna be interesting. So now, you know, these three people are gonna converge, I feel like. I feel like Ike, Allie, and Branch. Branch and Allie have already converged. And then Branch and Ike have converged in their own way. And then Branch and Allie, you know, are now part of the Beowulf Club, the Beowulf Circle, whatever the fuck it's called. So they're converged in their own ways. So I think we're going to be able to kind of piece together the three, technically four, storylines that we've gotten so far, and see something more. But yeah, right now, seven chapters in, I have no idea what's going on. I am still invested in the plot, but it's like they were throwing so much out at me with like the scholarly stuff and the scholarly thoughts, but they weren't giving me enough of like the... Okay, so the issue I think I'm having is I feel like what we really dove into in the intro is all the scholarly stuff. Like, I think they did a really good job with diving into, like, Thomas and in the last chapter how we heard from the you know, Diallo, the blind scholar. I should remember his name. It's like Delorio or Delorian. I don't know. Dioriel? Hold on. I'll look it up. 1 second. Another reason I wish I had the actual book in front of me instead of my Kindle. What is his name? Of course I can't find it. The Beowulf Club. Delorme. 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 Anyway. So Delorme is, we find out so much about the scholarly stuff. What they think is going, like, on with the devil, with Satan. But we don't have very much of the heart-pounding action. Like, the first chapter was by far the most intense chapter. Branch's chapter, where they're down exploring and they find Ike. Wait, did I say Branch? Ike's chapter, the first chapter. Not Branch, Ike. Ike's chapter is by far the most intense and interesting. And then Branch's chapter in the cloud, in the piss cloud, that was interesting. Like, that was pretty heart pounding, but in a different way, because he was so out of it and we weren't really like getting to see very much. So like, his chapter was interesting, but not in the same way. But then when they're down in the cave exploring and everything happens and we find Ike, that was pretty heart pounding. But, like, it's so little in compared to all the scholarly talk we get. And so I think it was just a lot of, like, okay. We're seeing. I want to see, not hear, is kind of how I was feeling. So I definitely think that there's a lot to go off of and a lot we're going to get to see. And I'm really excited. So I am excited to see further and see what's going to happen. Predictions? Sorry, I just heard a big noise. I don't really have predictions yet. Do I have any predictions? No. I mean, I know the companies are... I think that Ike is going to be working for Helios. They keep talking about Helios so much. I think that Ike is going to be working for them. I think there's going to be some kind of, like, interaction between the Beowulf Circle and Helios down there. And so it's going to be, like, Ike versus Branch. And they're going to have to, you know, like, either there's going to be a tragic thing happen or Ike's going to, like, you know, obviously go side with Branch. I don't know. But I don't have any idea what's going to happen with the Hadals because I don't fucking know anything about the Hadals. It doesn't seem like they have a master plan. It does seem like they're kind of smart because they were able to, like, I was going to say unionize, which kind of they did. But they were able to, like, organize this big hit, you know, on that November 24th hit So, like, obviously they're smart and things are going to happen, but, like, why are they pack ratting? Why haven't they done more on the surface? I don't know. We're going to have to see. So, I don't know. Not many predictions yet. I'd love to know what you guys think. I would really love to know what you guys think if you've gotten, you know, to this part. Or if you haven't read and you just are hearing what I'm saying, what do you think? You're not getting everything in context because I'm leaving a lot out, but I don't know. Tell me what you think. I want to go over it with you guys. I'm interested. I'm very interested. Feel free to talk in the comments under this post. I'm going to have a big thing saying spoilers, you know, on it. So hopefully no one looks through. But yeah, don't give any spoilers past chapter 7. We're only talking about book 1. So if you've read past book 1, chapter 7, keep that to yourself for now. But anyway, interesting. Feel free to talk in the comments here on Patreon or in the Discord. Maybe spoiler yourself in the Discord. I don't know. All right, guys. It was great to talk. I've talked for 45 minutes, 46 minutes now. I don't know. Once I, now that I have the book, I'll be able to go through it a lot faster. So the next, I'll do another part about the next book. Sorry, I keep hearing something. I don't know what it is. It's spooking me. So I'll go ahead and give you more information then, with the next book, probably, you know, in a few days. All right, guys. Mwah. Bye.